Welcome to the Dudes Abide Movie Podcast, the only podcast where a Canadian boy and an American moose sit down for an hour and talk about movies. I'm your host, Reed.
And I am the moose that shall not be named.
Corey. Let's get into
yes.
It. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about a little bit of that Princess Mononoke. But first, we got some news.
Oh, boy.
All right. I got like four little points right here. Mm-hmm. All right. There's been a dude sighting.
That one, I'm so scared. Like, he can't just release that. Oh.
So I think it's just a commercial, but like a Super Bowl commercial, but
yeah. Yeah. Me too. But what?
But would you want it to be a movie? Like, if it ends up being a Big Lebowski 2?
Only if it's directed by the Coen brothers.
Only if it's directed by the Coen brothers.
But also,
I'm gonna go a step further. Only if John Goodman comes back as well.
Yeah, okay. Of course, those are two things that go hand in hand. But I don't know if I want them to make a sequel. Like, I don't even know if... I don't think the Coen brothers are about that kind of thing. Especially like...
I don't think they've ever made a sequel.
Yeah, especially like 20, 30 years ago. Whenever it came out. I don't think anyone needs that. Like, I know there's probably...
I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. But a Super Bowl commercial, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's just cool to see him dressed up like Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Dude, he made a noise, and I was like, oh my god, you're such a wholesome man. I love you, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, that's what happens every time Jeff Bridges makes any noises for me.
I agree. Alright, well. Okay, so there was a Birds of Prey teaser. I don't know if you saw that.
Yep, I was.
It was literally about 5 seconds of film.
But that's okay. Because we got to see Harley Quinn. She looks cool, extra cool this time.
I don't know, man. She doesn't look like Harley Quinn to me, my man.
Yeah, but now she doesn't have to as much anymore. You know what I mean? You got the comic accurate one in the first one, and now it's just like, okay, Harley Quinn's here. I think she will be more comic accurate, but I'm saying, as of right now, I don't think it's as important.
I don't know. It's just like 5 seconds of film, so I can't really say. But like, if there was anything that I was into about Suicide Squad, and there's not a lot. It's Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so third, Killmonger might return for Black Panther 2.
Actually, Killmonger will return for Black Panther 2. They announced it, like they actually said it, not he might. So... I don't think he's going to return. It's just going to be like a flashback or two, so I don't think it's anything to be excited about.
Maybe he'll be in that plane of existence that T'Chaka is in.
Okay, so you get a couple scenes with him. I don't think it's any. I don't think that technically counts as news. I think it's just kind of like, oh, okay, so some thing that we speculated was going to happen is happening.
But if he is in just a couple scenes, like in the alternate plane of existence where T'Chaka's dead and Michael B. Jordan's character's dead, then I would prefer him to not come out and say it. Like, he's coming back for a sequel to be the main villain.
Well,
they I would rather just be surprised.
I don't think it wasn't Michael B. Jordan who said it. It was the person who played Michael B. Jordan's... the mom in the movie. She was the
Are
one
you
who
sure?
said it. Yep.
Because I heard it was Michael B. Jordan.
Okay, well, I think she was the one who goaded him into saying it.
Dang.
I don't care. Regardless, I don't really care.
I mean, good character, good actor.
Yeah.
But
That's true.
All right, and then the last little thing I got written down right here is the most important, and that is Tarantino set photos.
Yeah, man. He's making a movie.
He
That's
is
for sure.
making his ninth movie.
His final movie.
No, he's got one more after this, at least.
Oh, right. And it's going to be the Star Trek one.
Nah, he said that if he makes that, it won't count, but I also don't think that that's going to get made anymore.
Why? Why you don't think he's gonna? So we'll pick off up from that now.
All right, well, I don't think he's going to make a Star Trek movie because they just canceled Star Trek 4.
Oh,
So, they canceled him, man.
I mean, that's fair. Chris Pine's not gonna return. There's no reason to make a fourth one.
Well, Chris Pine's not returning because originally they wanted to do a story with Kirk and his dad. Despite his dad being dead, they wanted for some reason, they wanted Chris Hemsworth to be in the movie really bad. But they hadn't been paying Pine. They haven't been paying the actors the right, like the money that they said they would. And Chris Pine wasn't a big name when in 2009 when that started. So now it's just like they're not going to give him any money. Paramount sucks. They're not making Star Trek 4.
Dang.
Yeah, and then I said Tarantino set photos, the picture of Leonardo DiCaprio with the cheerleaders and then
Okay.
hopping out of the back of the truck with the gun. Two pretty distinctly different things. And I'm
Well,
excited to see. I'm pretty sure his character is like an actor, so like that's probably him on set of two different movies, I'm imagining.
I don't know. I'm quite excited for this movie. I have no idea what it's going to be, and it's going to be really cool.
Tarantino is one of my favorite directors. He's the one director in Hollywood that I trust to make a good movie more than anybody. There's a couple people that's starting to creep up there, like Denis Villeneuve and Alex
Damien
Garland.
Chazelle.
Damien Chazelle is amazing. But yeah.
Yeah.
So now that we got the little news, a little news segment's done. What have you been watching, Reader 10?
Well, I watched the first anime of my life, Mary and the Witch's Flower,
It
and
is pretty insane that it took you this long to watch an anime.
Well, I mean, I've seen Totoro and I've seen, I think, Spirited Away, but that was years ago, so I don't know if that counts anymore. Like, I
It
don't
does not.
remember it really.
If
So
you don't remember anything, it don't count.
I remember how cute Totoro was, so that counts.
He's a cute guy.
Mary and the Witch's Flower was really good, and I'm upset that I have to admit that because I really enjoyed that movie.
The first step of you becoming a weeb.
And then I have also been watching Punisher season one, but every single time I try to watch an episode, you decide you're gonna call me. So I'm still trying to get
Don't
through
know what you're
season
talking
one.
about.
Still trying to get through season one, but it's
What
very
episode are you
difficult.
on?
Like episode 10.
It's going to take you another 3 years with the pace that you're going with this.
Yeah, probably. Every single time I try, it doesn't happen. So I don't know what's supposed to
Hey,
happen.
sometimes you just want to talk to your pal Reed. Most of the times it's when he's watching Punisher. I'm trying to make sure that you don't just blow through it and regret it.
No, I don't want to blow. I want to blow through it. What have you been watching?
Essentially, just one thing. I've just been watching Battlestar
Oh,
Galactica,
okay.
it is a god-tier television show. I'm just gonna put that out there, my guy.
Oh, giving
It's
out hot
just,
takes, gotcha.
it's like Breaking Bad level good.
Really? I remember the
Yeah.
first time you watched it, you hated it.
I didn't hate it. I watched through, like, I bought the entire set. And I watched through most of season one and decided that I hadn't invested myself as much into it as I should have, considering how much praise it gets. And then I just put it up and decided that I'm going to come back to it eventually. And I never came back to it. And then 2 years passed, and now I'm here. And it's amazing. And I'm on season three. I'm halfway done with season three of four. And I love it.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, man. All right. So now we're gonna get to the big thing,
The
to
main attraction.
the movie that we watched last night that you loved, that you said it was your favorite movie of all time now. Princess
So,
Mononoke, Hayao Miyazaki's seventh film, one of my all-time favorite directors, a beautiful man. I love him and his movies.
I must say, this movie is beautiful. It has a great score. It has some pretty good themes, and it's pretty cool how it was released in 97, but it has a lot of themes to current day problems. And I thought that was really cool, but the story sucked and I
All right,
hated it.
well, we're gonna go through this movie one thing at a time.
Yeah, we
Since
can.
you... Okay, we're gonna go through the animation first. So we're gonna go through the little things, and then we're gonna go through the themes and the story and the characters and stuff. So the animation, how do you feel about hand-drawn animation?
I love hand drawn. That's my favorite type of animation. I hate how there's
Loves
no
hand-drawn,
hand
doesn't
drawn.
like anime. What the heck?
You know what? You have to let that go. It's just like my opinion, man.
Okay. You got me there. You won the argument.
So I really like all of the animation. I like the big puppies, or wolves as they're
The
called,
big
but
pups.
I call them the big puppies. But the one thing I hated was the way the apes looked. The apes looked so bad.
They look terrifying.
No, they don't. They just look stupid.
I
I don't
forgot
know.
about that. That was a thing. I think that. So I'll be honest with you. I don't like hand-drawn animation,
What?
unless it's anime. I don't like American hand-drawn animation. I much prefer like Coco and Inside Out when it comes to American movies.
Okay, well, those ones are perfect. I prefer
Perfect.
Pixar over that too, but that's me. But I love hand-drawn animation.
I'll be honest with you, if it isn't besides Land Before Time, I literally do not like a single American made animated film before Toy Story 1.
Well, you know, that's fine. That's fine. I'm on a screen, but that's fine.
But anime hand-drawn animation is like a completely different thing, my guy. Like Hayao Miyazaki's animation, you could argue that maybe this is his best, and he's like the king of animation. You could argue that this is the best animation in one of his movies, or you could say like something like Spirited Away, but like Spirited Away is a little bit more like it's a little bit more violent in maybe a bad way. Like this one, like this film is brutal. There's a lot of like horrifying stuff that happens in this movie. There's decapitations.
Oh yeah, I was watching the movie and I was like, this is pretty cool. This is pretty all right. And then all of a sudden this guy gets his head taken off clean. And then I was hooked.
There's a man that gets both of his arms cut off by the same arrow, and it gets attached to a tree. Like there's a lot of it's grainier than Spirited Away. It's a little bit darker. The animation looks arguably better. I prefer it in Princess Mononoke than I do in Spirited Away, I think. I don't know. I just think it's just something about it, like the graininess, the way that he animated the film. Right. Now the score. I forgot to look up the man's name. I looked it up last night, but he's done the score for every single Hayao Miyazaki film that has existed.
Yeah.
Lupin.
So you like to talk to me about this guy and his scores, and I never really cared, because there's better scores out there, but this one was really good. I still prefer a lot of other scores to this one, but it made me feel some type of way during certain parts of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Studio Ghibli scores are my favorite scores. They're
Really?
the only scores that I listen to while I'm not watching a movie. Like I will drive to work
Wow.
listening to a Studio Ghibli score, and I would go as far to say that the guy that that did these, even though I don't know his name, I don't know most composers' names, is maybe my favorite composer in films.
That's
I
a fair
think
assumption.
that there's something about it. It's just like it's light. Like I don't know if it's pianos that they use for these scores, but yeah, Princess Mononoke is one of the better ones. I prefer Spirited Away when it comes to Hayao Miyazaki scores, and I also maybe prefer Howl's Moving Castle, but yeah, Princess Mononoke score, one of the best of all time. Fight me.
I'll fight you.
Fight
I
me.
definitely will. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about the score. Especially in more of like the more serious scenes. I don't know. Sometimes like generic sounding score, like, oh, I don't know how to
Are you saying
perfectly. No, I'm saying like it could sound like a generic film. But it has certain different distinct tones that'll change it from a generic one. So like, I don't know if that makes any sense because it probably doesn't because I don't know how to put into words how I feel about the score. I think it's a really good score. I think there are times where could just easily be, oh, something sad's happening. Let's put something sad on, which they do put something sad on. But then they go the extra mile to make sure it's not as sad as it should be, or as generic as it should be, I mean.
When I put the Blu-ray in last night and the title screen came up and like a score started, I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is why I love Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, you're a weeb, though, so.
Am not a weeb.
Yes, you are. You started to learn Japanese.
Didn't start to learn Japanese. Come on, come on, Nani.
Dude, you're texting me like, dude, I'm starting to learn Japanese. I learned this phrase.
I did actually learn a couple phrases in Japanese, but I forgot them. Like I figured them out, and then it just left.
That's good,
One of
though.
these days, I'm gonna come in this podcast. I'm gonna be speaking fluent Japanese.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. So I forgot to write down like a synopsis of the film and the story. Unless you want to talk about the voice acting first.
Oh, okay, I'll talk about the voice acting. I didn't like it that much.
Okay.
Because we watched the dubbed version because I'm not
I
about
watch.
re I don't
You
want to
finish
read my pro my I don't want to read my movie. I want to watch my movie. So
what you're saying. Okay, so I'm not like that. I like subtitled things, but I watch all my Studio Ghibli films dubbed. Unlike most anime where I watch it subbed. So usually Studio Ghibli voice actors are better matched for their characters. Like I like Spirited Away, everything works besides maybe the main guy. I have a hard time remembering these characters' names. There is something about it. There's something about Hayao Miyazaki and the way that the English actors, especially the males, voice their things, where sometimes it can sound like they just don't care. And Ashitaka, I think is the main character's name, did not sound like he cared about anything. And maybe that worked for the character, but it just did not sound, it wasn't a good performance. John DiMaggio was in the film. Did you
Yeah,
realize
I know
that?
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the girls in Hayao Miyazaki's films, the women in Hayao Miyazaki's films, usually do a lot better when it comes to voice acting than the men. And I think this is one of those times.
Maybe, yeah, I think I can agree with that. I just like some of the, especially, yeah, some of the guys' voice actors, they just sounded dated to me. It sounded like this was definitely a late 90s movie. And so, like, there's sometimes where a movie's voice cast, it doesn't matter. Like Toy Story, that's a perfect example. You brought that up earlier. For me, the voice cast doesn't feel like it's aging, but I feel like the technology they used to record these guys' voices weren't as it didn't sound like they were present in the character, but
Here's
it
the thing, though. I don't know when these English dubs were recorded, though. I don't think it was 1997. It might have been. A lot of these older anime films, they went back and they did English dubs way later.
Yeah.
Also, well, I don't know. I don't know if there's several different versions of the Princess Mononoke dub, because some Studio Ghibli's dubs will have like a Disney version and like a Fox version or whatever company had them before Disney.
Oh, wow. That's
Or,
weird.
and the Disney ones are usually better. Okay, so I did not write down a plot synopsis, and I don't entirely know how to just, in a few sentences, explain what happened.
I
So I'm
got
gonna give
you.
it. You got me? What the heck?
Okay, sorry, let me just quickly. Okay, so in the 14th century, the harmony that humans, animals, and gods have enjoyed begin to crumble. The protagonist, young Ashitaka, infected by an animal attack, seeks a cure from the deer-like god Shishigami. In his travels, he sees humans ravaging the earth, bringing down the wrath of wolf god Moro and his human companion, Princess Mononoke. His attempts to broker peace between her and the humans brings only conflict. That's the summary that Google gave me.
That's a good summary, man. All right, so what did you think about the, don't talk about the themes in the film, just the story and the way it was formatted made out to you.
I did not like it. I'd oftentimes be watching all this. I don't know. I don't know. I just really didn't like it. It felt all over the place to me.
Really? I don't think so. Studio Ghibli films are really quiet films where it's like sometimes things will just happen, and though it's easy to just like miss things because of the way that it's presented to you. And I think a lot of that has to do with the voice acting wasn't interesting enough to where I was just like, oh, I'm listening to every single word that's coming out of your mouth, and I'm picking up on things because they just sound so not interested in what they were doing.
You know,
So
maybe it was my fault. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think it was your fault. I think it's easy to miss things. I'm not saying that you miss things, and not saying that I did. It's a very quiet film. I don't think that the story held up to the rest of the movie. I don't think that the way that the story played out held up to the animation standard and the score standard and the themes in the film, because the themes are probably the best part besides the score in the animation. I don't know. It's one of those things where it just feels like things are just happening, and like I don't know if you know what I mean by that.
No, I totally know what you mean by that, where it's just like literally that it's just a bunch of stuff happening, and like I'll be here and it's like, oh, what's his name again? Ashitaka is talking to Moro, and then the next thing you know, Moro's getting attacked by the buffalo, or sorry, the warthog, and I don't know if that actually happened or not, but it seems pretty likely. Like some of the stuff just seemed to be so unwarranted.
And as like a love story as well between Mononoke and Ashitaka, it didn't really work for me.
Yeah, me neither. They kind of just felt more like friends.
Well, they didn't even feel like friends to me, dude. Well, I mean, the whole thing was like Ashitaka like helping Mononoke realize that she is human, regardless of whether or not she wants to just black that out. And I mean, you're not about to have a really great love story between a girl who thinks she's a wolf and a man who's possessed by a demon.
But you know, props to Miyazaki for trying.
Yeah. So, I don't. Do you have anything more to say about like the overall story? But like, we eventually we're gonna get into like a general discussion to where it's like you can say whatever you want about the movie.
Well, I was shook when the wolf started speaking. I was pretty excited about that.
Didn't expect that?
No, I didn't. So
Oh,
that was pretty
before we
exciting.
go further, what did you expect going into this movie? Because
I
I don't think
thought,
you knew anything about it.
nope, I thought it was going to be a cool, like, light kind of movie about a
Wrong.
princess. And I was super excited. I was like, you know what? This is going to be cute. This is going to be cute. We're going to get Princess Mononoke brushing her hair. And
Little
she's going to
did
do
you
this.
know, little did you know there was going to be decapitation.
And she's a wolf, not even a princess. Pfft, man. Okay, what's next?
So the last thing, the last like real big point that I want to get into today before we go into like general discussion and whether or not you really liked it or my second viewing thoughts is the most important part of the movie, and that is the themes. And I have one big one out
Okay.
like underlined, and I wrote this down like 5 minutes into the movie, and I will be honest with you, going into this, I did not remember anything about the movie for my first viewing besides like really liking it and the how good the animation was. Like I remembered certain scenes for their animation, but I wrote about 5 minutes into the movie, I wrote down hatred can consume you, and
Oh, snap.
your boy was
Yeah.
I feel like it was there's like three to four big themes in the movie, and the biggest one for me, because like the environmental stuff is obvious, like it, like you know what there's what Miyazaki's saying when it
Yeah.
comes to that, and I mean they kind of laid the hatred thing out for you. Some of the themes I don't completely have a grasp on what he was trying to say, but he I feel like in this movie especially just like laid it out for you. With the hatred being like the demon, and like it's slowly just consuming Ashitaka. Like when he was in the when he was meeting with Ibashi, is that her name?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know any of the characters' names.
He was meeting with Ibashi, and his arm just tried to like whip out the sword and just stab her.
Yeah.
It, like I wrote down. The demon possessing his arm is symbolic for how we as a people can be tainted. Something small can start out trivial and grow, consuming us, controlling us. And when exposed to the pure, and this was like when he was in the forest and he was trying to get his arm under control and he stuck it into the water. And I just wrote down, and when exposed to the pure water of the forest, it's maintained. And then I wrote down balance, question mark.
Yeah. I didn't even think about the hatred thing. And so now that you point that out, this movie's a whole different type of making me feel a whole different type of way. I see that now, and I think that is a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, man. And
I
now you
What
can
were you
go
gonna
ahead.
say?
You
No, you go ahead, man. No, you go
can go
ahead.
ahead. Go
I noticed. I thought it was kind of weird the way women were like. They hated men, it seemed. And the men hated the women. And so they were really segregated to me. And then they were in the their workplace where they're on the weird board jumping up and down or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
They do for 4 days straight.
they said they liked that because they're away from the men, and I was so confused because it's like at
They said
first I
they liked
thought
it because they could be in a brothel.
that's
And
true
I think
too.
that so Miyazaki really likes to make strong female characters, and I think that's just them saying that they'd rather be making their wage, their money, and their living the hard way than like being a tool for men.
Yeah, which is why I liked that too. Like, I wasn't out expecting that, especially from a late 90s film. No one cares about feminism in the 90s.
I don't know about that, my guy. Like,
Yeah,
Miyazaki really like, and I wrote that down. I wrote strong female characters when Mononoke was when she showed up, which she, when she showed up and she started killing everybody, that was crazy. The way that they
Yeah.
animated her, just like running over buildings and like the way that she was like hand to hand fighting people was crazy. So the other big themes, the other two. Well, do you have any like besides the environmental one? And then there's one that I want to relate to something that's going on right now that might, I don't think was meant to have been in the film, like for me to interpret it that way.
I wrote down the wildlife and I wrote down feminism, so that's all I had down for themes. So what do you
I
have?
don't think feminism was a theme in the score as much as just a strong character was.
I guess I just felt like it's pretty cool to see some strong female characters. Okay, what's yours?
Well, I wrote down the environmental one if you want to talk about that, like the way that they did that. How do you feel about it?
I think it was pretty cool, especially because like these days we talk about global warming and stuff, and people are denying climate change and stuff, and then Miyazaki comes in and he's like, "Guys, look, we're killing stuff." I
We're
don't know.
killing stuff.
I don't know how to describe it. I thought it was really cool. I
It's
thought it
a
was a
very
hot take.
I don't think it was a hot take as much as it was just like it's very hard to get into because obviously like we should care about the environment.
And
I say
not
as I
we
drink
don't
a
care enough.
plastic bottle of water. Yeah, we should care about the environment, and that's one thing. The nature theme is a big theme in Miyazaki's work as a whole. He's got a lot of nature stuff, especially like Ghibli as a whole. And nature is a big theme. And Miyazaki seems like a wise old man, but
He actually he does. He's pretty funny looking. I'm sorry.
yeah,
He looks comedic. I feel
he
like he
looks.
presents his look at his big eyebrows.
He looks like a nice old man. You take that back.
He does look like a nice old man. I'd love to give him a hug, but like his eyebrows are so big and they don't match the rest of his hair.
Doesn't have Martin Scorsese eyebrows, man. Come on.
That's true.
Martin Scorsese's eyebrows are like two caterpillars.
I
They're gonna have their own movie one day.
hope so.
So the other theme for me that I really picked up on is the, and I related this to things that happen today where it's like one side feels one way and won't budge, and the other side feels one way and won't budge, and neither of them are capable or willing to see the other side's point or coexist and reach a understanding and a balance. And I don't think Hayao Miyazaki, like, I think he meant that when he was writing it, but I don't think he meant for us to like relate that to real life scenarios. You know what I mean?
Politics and yeah, the left and the right.
Yes, I didn't want to just come out and say it.
No, I'm just coming out and saying the left and the right. Yeah, I see that now. No one ever wants to be like, you know what, true, you got some points. I'll let you have that. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever reach that point in life.
Where we're just reasonable enough to coexist as a people and not
Yeah.
hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that that's something that I thought about while watching Princess Mononoke. Especially with the Bashi and the warthogs. Like, dude, the violence in this film is crazy. Like, this
I
might be
know.
the most violent Studio Ghibli film I've seen. Like, and I say that besides Grave of the Fireflies, but Grave of the Fireflies isn't necessarily violent as much as it is just like sad. Which you're gonna watch that eventually, and it's gonna make you cry.
I
We're
don't
gonna
want to
go through all
cry.
Gordon Studio Ghibli films eventually.
Oh man. Okay, that's fair, I guess.
Yeah, this is it's Miyazaki's most gruesome film. It's his most like real movie, I guess. Like it's his darkest film, I think. It has the best animation and all this stuff. But before we like we wrap up talking about the movie, or we go into like general discussion, I want to talk about my second viewing of the film. So I going into this, I did not remember anything about it. And besides like really liking it a lot. And I gotta say that it was a little bit worse, maybe, than I remember. And like I'm pretty sure last week I was like, you're gonna watch this amazing anime movie and you're gonna love anime for the rest of your life. Like I should have started with Spirited Away. Like, admittedly, I should have started with something different for you than what
Yeah,
I
'cause
did.
this I didn't want to watch a gruesome anime. I want to watch something light and adorable, like what anime is supposed to be.
I
I don't want to see
mean,
the dark side of anime.
I showed you the dark side of Anime Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is because I've always put this up in Miyazaki's big three with Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle. And this is only the second time I've ever watched this movie. And I haven't seen Howl's more than once. And I've seen Spirited Away like six times. But this one, I always want to say that it's the best Miyazaki movie. And I might be wrong. Like, it might be Spirited Away. I just don't want to admit it because of how popular it is, honestly.
Dang, Corey does
That's
not
me.
want to be popular.
That's me being real. That's a hot take. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. There's.
I don't think people give things like Princess Mononoke enough love.
So you want to give it love.
I think people need to view it more and need to like experience it more and need to talk about it more. But I don't think that it's like, and it could have just been, maybe I shouldn't have watched it a second time. Maybe this is one of those movies that you watch one time and then you never watch again. And you let just like simmer.
I don't think any movie is a movie you just watch once. If you like it, that.
People
Like, if
say
it's a
that
movie you hate.
about Grave of
What? Which movie?
Fireflies. Grave of the Fireflies. It's another Ghibli film. It's one of the saddest movies I've ever seen in my life. And it's one of those movies that people say, I really like that movie, despite it making me cry, but I'm never watching it again because of how sad it is.
Okay, well, that's a different story. You hate it because it's so sad, but you love it.
Yeah, I mean, you could say the same thing about Princess Mononoke, man. I don't like seeing like animals just getting like blown up by umbrella guns.
I'm never going to watch this movie again, but for different reasons. I just don't think I could sit through 2 hours of this again. It was a good movie, but it was not compelling enough for me to be like, yeah, I'd watch it again. Like, I think Mary and the Witch's Flower was better.
I've never seen Mary and the Witch's Flower, so I can't comment on whether or not I think it's better. I have a feeling that you're wrong. I need to watch it eventually, but we're gonna get you. We're gonna find you an anime eventually. Like I can't just continue picking anime for my picks. I don't want to do that,
I
but
mean, I can just watch them. I'm open to watching
dude,
anime
I've been
now.
trying to. You did I open the door? Did I do it?
No, Megan, my girlfriend, was watching Mary and the Witch's Flower, and she was really interested in it. She was really interested in it.
I've been trying to get you to watch Studio Ghibli films for like a year
See,
and a half.
no, but my thing is, I can't just start watching anime from someone who likes anime, because then it's like, but I don't like anime, so why am I going to like anime when someone who likes anime tells me to? But when someone like my girlfriend, who doesn't like anime, tells me to watch anime, I'm interested.
But the thing is, Reed, I'm not like a full-on anime fan. Like I'm
Yeah,
like
you
you,
are.
man. I'm still like surface level anime fan. Like there's still time.
I will never refer to myself. I will never refer to myself as an anime fan. We'll get that straight.
I think that you need to detach this negative stigma you have towards anime, because you love animation, like you love animated films.
Yeah. Oh boy, I don't know.
So, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate this movie?
So, last night...
You gave me a 6.
I gave you a 6, but now I think I'd give it a 7.
Okay, so it went up. Why did it go up?
I don't know. After whatever, it's been like 45 minutes almost, we've been talking about it, and I just realized that I really liked the themes. The themes, the score, and the animation were so good, and that makes up for the...
If the voice acting was a little bit better and the story was
easier to follow,
I think that the film could have been condensed by like 20 minutes.
Oh, I'd love that.
I think that would have solved everything, honestly.
I would love that.
The story was hard to follow. I just think that if I had a better understanding of why everything was happening the way it was and the film was shorter, that it would be... Because, like I said, it's one of those things where things just happen, like, and there's no explanation, and you don't always need that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should have had a better understanding of why everything was happening the way it was. And I mean, the war thing was happening. They told you why, because they were killing the forest and the warthog or the boar tribe were upset, and I'm pretty sure they killed some of the boar, and then that started a war between the forest people and Ibashi's tribe. And unless I'm just like
a lot.
It was like 4 or 5 different perspectives that we were getting.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. Like, maybe just give us 2 perspectives, maybe 3.
The most confusing part of the movie for me was when it was Ibashi's tribe going up against other humans, because at one point they showed them like waging war on other people, and I was just like, why did they just do that? Like, why are they fighting right now? Yeah, so if I was going to rate it, okay. after the first time I viewed it, I would have given you like a 10 automatically. This time I'm going to say an 8.5.
Oh, it's gone down. It's still higher than I thought. I thought you were going to give it an 8.
I mean, I don't know what kind of scale that is, because I never rate things like 1 to 10. I mean, we're just going to just like as a general idea of how much we liked it. Like, there's no like real concrete rating.
And for those who care, for the 8 people that listen to our podcast, shout out to you guys.
Maybe this brings us up to 9.
Sorry?
I said maybe this will bring us up to 9.
Yeah. I give Mary and the Witch's Flower a 9 out of 10.
Are you serious?
I loved that movie. I want to buy it on Blu-ray. That was a great movie.
Really? Should I watch it?
Watch it. Watch it today.
It's Studio Ghibli's successor. Like, I'm pretty sure people that worked for Ghibli left, because Ghibli's kind of dead. Like, his Hayao Miyazaki's working on a movie, and his son is working on a completely CGI film.
Ew.
No, not like CGI, like computer generated illustration.
Like, oh. Okay.
You know what I mean? Not like normal CGI, but he's working on a movie, but they haven't released a movie in like 5 years or something. Like they some of their directors have passed. Miyazaki said he was going to retire, but then he came out of retirement again.
I know, I heard about that. Yikes.
He's making a Caterpillar film now, but and like Studio Pinocchio is supposed to be like Ghibli's successor. And that's their first film. So I'm interested in it. I was going to watch it in the theater, actually.
You got to watch it. Kate Winslet's in it.
Kate Winslet?
Yeah, she plays one of the main characters.
Nice.
Do you have anything else to say?
Um, So I think that like this, especially out of Miyazaki's filmography, can be considered like a light horror film.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I was watching it, and during the like the boar sequence where he had like the tentacles coming out of him, and the decapitation, and the demon possessing him, and yeah, like it's, I mean, maybe Spirited
It's a
Away is,
little,
but it's
I'd
like.
say it's a little hard to watch at points.
Oh, in this film, so I was thinking about it. We were talking about how things just happen and how maybe it should follow like a tighter narrative. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about that while I was watching it, and I was like, oh, this kind of feels like a Kurosawa film, like an Akira Kurosawa film. And I was like, I don't know if you know who that is. I've only seen like four
No.
of his movies. He made like The Seven Samurai, Ikiru, and
Okay.
Yojimbo, Jiro, and his films, his samurai films that I've seen, feel like things just happen. Like you go into a world, like it's not. It feels like you're not watching a movie. It feels like you're watching somebody in real life who wouldn't sit there and explain things and how things work, if that makes sense. And that's what his films feel like. And I was like, this feels more like an Akira Kurosawa anime than it does a Hayao Miyazaki film. Like, it feels like Akira Kurosawa just directed an anime.
Is that high praise or is that
It's
disappointing?
not, any praise. It's just a general statement. Like,
Oh, okay.
I like both of them. I love Miyazaki and I like Akira Kurosawa for what I've seen. But, I mean, maybe that's not a good thing. Like, I don't know. I'm very conflicted on how I feel about this movie, just like you, man. Like, there's certain things that are so good, and then there's certain things that are just like not as good as I remember them the first time.
I wish I was able to relate this to a bunch of other anime I've seen. I only have one, and I related it to Toy Story as well, which Toy Story is the best anime, as we all know.
Yeah.
All right.
So before we wrap everything up, you have to tell us what I'm watching next week, boy.
Okay, I am so sorry. I
What am
feel.
What are you about to
Listen,
say?
listen, listen. So, I had to. Remember, you're gonna know exactly what's about to happen. Remember last night when I said I had to make a deal with the devil?
Did you say the Meg?
We're watching the Meg next week.
Dude, that's not a movie that we can talk about for an hour.
But here's the thing. The second request was that he joined us on the podcast.
He can come on, man. Let him come on for the Meg episode.
Yes, so next week we're watching the Meg, and I'm so upset.
When you texted me, I made a deal with the devil. I texted Anthony afterwards because he had texted me. He said Reed's watching the movie, and I was like, "That's a weird thing to say to me." He can just tell me he's watching a movie, and Anthony was like, "You shouldn't mess with the beast." And then I never responded.
I feel so bad. I didn't want to do it,
I thought you were
but
going to come at me with something like her or
no.
Under the Pin or Inside Llewyn Davis, and then you come at me
Here's
with.
the thing, Corey. I was gonna pick one of those movies. Literally, I was. I thought I was gonna pick her. I was like, you know what? We're gonna talk about her. I could talk about that for an hour. And then,
Read.
I needed to.
I came at you with this Princess Mononoke, with this Studio Ghibli environmental issues and the war and warmongering and hatred and how it can consume you, and you come at me with the Meg.
I'm so sorry. I did not want to do this to you, but I didn't have a choice.
Oh my God. Okay. I'll watch the Meg and I'm gonna cry the entire time. We're
I'm gonna
not gonna
cry
be able to.
too.
This is going to be like a half an hour long podcast next week, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, guys. The nine of you who are watching this time, we're gonna go back down to eight because I don't want to listen to the Meg.
Yeah, this is
But
it's a very weird three first podcast episodes. Top 10 favorite movies, Princess Mononoke, The Meg.
we'll get into nicer, steadier territory coming up.
Yeah.
All
I
right,
kind
I guess.
of want my next pick to be something against you, but I don't want that to become a thing. I want us to
Yeah.
have serious film things. I can't believe you did this, dude. All right.
Okay, well, with that being said, I'd just like to thank everybody, all eight of you, for spending time with us. And actually, I was actually really surprised. I thought we were gonna get like two or three views on it. And I come here. I went on the app yesterday and I saw the podcast has eight views. And I'm like, what? Who's watching our podcast? I think that means a lot to me. Follow us on Instagram at the Dudes Abide. We don't have any other social media, so if you see anyone pretending to be us, it's not us.
Kill
Make sure to rate our podcast on wherever you can rate podcasts, because I've already been asking people to rate the podcast if they like it. I rated the podcast. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
And starting next week, we're gonna try to record this differently. So my audio should be better, and we should also maybe put it on YouTube next week.
Oh,
Like
he's coming
starting.
at us with a hot take. He's been trying to get me to put it on YouTube the entire time, and I've been saying, no, we don't need to. But now he wants us to. And now we
I
can't disappoint the fans.
mean, that's right. I laid it down. The audio, yeah, we're gonna record differently. We're recording on an app right now, a podcast app, but starting next week, it should sound better.
I guess. Well, until next time, I've been Reed.
Watch the Meg next week so you can listen to us talk about it. I've been Corey, and I'm gonna cry.
Okay. See you later.